Greetings of peace. Welcome to the D Show. Ramadan right around the corner. I thought it'd be a great opportunity to go ahead and give you some advice with an expert in the area of food and nutrition. We know that fasting is something that has tremendous benefits in it. We do it for those spiritual benefits, obviously, to gain God consciousness, and it'd be very unfair if I didn't just gloss over really quickly the other four pillars that we also live by in the essence of education, educating those that are new to this way of life, wanting to know more about it and why Muslims are fasting. And this is the main reason, is to develop more God consciousness, a direct connection with the one who's given us all of these blessings in life. And the first pillar of the five is that one testifies, believes in his heart, and testifies with his limbs, and pronounces that there's nothing worthy of worship except the one who made me, made you, this whole creation and everything in it. That there's no God but God. There's no deity worthy of worship except God, except the Creator. And then Muhammad is the last and final messenger. And that would automatically include Jesus, Moses, and all the other messengers that the Creator sent out of his love and mercy. And then establishing that direct connection, no middleman, no confession box, no weird superstitions and incantations. You dial up direct, you pray five times a day, and you give to the poor. That's a right that they have upon us. And you make that pilgrimage to Hajj, first house of worship built by Abraham, to commemorate the worship of the one Creator, the one God. And now fasting, what Jesus did, what Moses did, they all did Islam, submission to the Creator, not the creation. We're doing it today, as we're living, continuing that legacy. And now this aspect of the show, we're going to be discussing the nutritional part. We're going to be discussing with an expert who's conversant in this area, what are the most nutritious foods we can put in, avoiding the fake foods, nourishing the body with real foods. His advice with an expert in this area, you can go ahead and make sure that you benefit not only spiritually, but physically by not putting the wrong foods in your body. And then it just makes the fast more difficult. Exciting episode. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with nutritionist expert Jim Marlowe on The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
This is The Dean Show. This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
Welcome to The Dean Show. Special guest, Jim Marlowe, no stranger to The Dean Show. How have you been, Mr. Jim?
I've been very good, Eddie. How have you been?
Good. I've been trying to develop the nutritional integrity.
My compliments.
How does that go again for those tuning in for the first time?
Nutritional integrity is all about setting standards for what is acceptable food and drink for your body, and then being faithful to those standards, just like you'd want to be faithful to anything else that was important to you.
I want to start off with a story, and then you're going to actually give another real story. When we were at the farm,
okay,
I was on a plane, and one of my favorite topics nowadays is not only talking about the heart, soul, but also the body, the mind. I was talking about food. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to a gentleman by the name of John. Mm-hmm. And he had talked about his grandmother. She was about 98 years. She lived to a ripe age, about late 90s. I mean, 98 mm-hmm. years old. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about how this generation was the only not expected to outlive their parents. Mm-hmm. His great-grandmother lived to that ripe old age. And then I asked, what was she eating? Mm-hmm. And she had been raised on a farm. Mm-hmm. She was eating real food. Mm-hmm. His mother had died. She had started to get exposed to the fake food. And she had only lived to, I believe, around 57, mm-hmm. late 50s. Mm-hmm. And then that was so, I was so amazed on, you know, the grandmother. You know, there's a science behind that if you study. Yeah. People who are eating real food versus fake food. Yeah. And I want you to get into the story. I've done a video not too long ago, and I had mentioned you and how we were at the farm, and we met that gentleman who was given 2 weeks to 2 months to live.
Yes.
Can you share that story with us? And that goes also into the power of food, what we're going to be talking about today.
Yes. Well, he had cancer, and the doctor had told him that he didn't have long to live, But he chose not to believe the doctor and started doing everything he could do to help himself nutrition-wise and cut out all the junk he had been consuming and started nourishing himself with the best quality food that was available to him. And at the time we met him, he was going strong. He was feeling so much better. He still had a lot of health-building work to do, but he proved the doctor to be wrong. He proved that he still had a lot of life force energy in his body, and the human body is always striving toward healing and health. That's the direction of our life force energy. Our body wants to be healthy. It knows how to be healthy. It's always trying to be healthy. If you cut yourself, it heals. There's an innate intelligence and healing capacity that we all have. We just need to get our nutrition and the rest of our self-care right enough to support the healing potential that we have inside of us.
Why do you think, before I get into some of the questions and advice you can give us for Ramadan,
sure,
is that time of the year, fasting, and why do you think many people have become apathetic to this? When you talk about food, many people just put anything in their body and they don't take this serious. Why do you think that people have become apathetic to this?
Anybody who feels apathetic about the quality of what they're putting in their body is especially in urgent need of improving their food quality and improving their food nutrition so they have more energy, so they have more mental energy to actually start caring. You know, when someone has relatively low energy, low mental energy, their brain cells are not producing anywhere near optimal amounts of energy, this will affect their mood. This will affect their attitude about life, what they see around them, and they'll tend to be more apathetic. Because you know what? It takes energy to care about things. And so when someone is lacking energy, they typically won't care as much about what's going on around them or even care about themselves so much. So when someone is lacking nervous system energy, when they're lacking mental energy as well as physical energy, they're very prone to becoming apathetic about what's going on. They're much more likely to just kind of go along and accept things as they are without trying to change things for the better for themselves or for you know, their community, because it takes energy to do that. You need vitality to affect change.
Do we see it now as a consequence of this apathy towards this, and we want to motivate people to take this serious, and we're going to give the advice in a moment, but almost staggering numbers, close to 70% of people today are on the verge of being obese, overweight. Mm-hmm. You turned me out to an incredible documentary by Ty Bollinger.
Across the United States, interviewing doctors, scientists, researchers, and cancer patients to learn what they were doing to treat cancer.
Mm-hmm. I recommend everybody to watch this.
The Truth About Cancer.
The Truth About Cancer Global Quest. The mm-hmm. statistic states that 50% of people living today will have cancer. 1 in 4 will die from it.
You know that almost 50% of the people alive today will face cancer? Did you know that 1 in 4 males alive today will die from cancer?
Yeah. And a driving force behind all of these chronic diseases being food.
Oh, sure.
The wrong food choices.
Yeah, well.
So we want to create some urgency to people to take this matter serious.
Yeah, well, you know, food could be your best medicine, but food could also be, you know, your worst poison, because typically people are eating at least 3 times a day, and when you're making the wrong choices, when you're eating fake food instead of real food, you're insidiously poisoning yourself. It's just a matter of time before the consequences begin to manifest. In regard to the Ty Bollinger series, The Truth About Cancer, my favorite episode was actually the first episode, which addresses something fundamentally important, and that is why are things the way they are and the way the conventional medical establishment approaches the treatment of cancer with just the highly toxic treatments of the poisons euphemistically known as chemotherapy and radiation and surgery and conventional medicine. No attention is given to nutrition.
They gave us a whole hour on nutritionals. A whole hour.
A whole hour.
In 4 years of medical school. We got a whole hour.
First of all, how much training did you receive on nutrition when you were in medical school? Because I know here in the States, it's almost none.
Yeah, not much.
Not much? Not much. Even in Argentina?
It's close to, yeah. Yeah, very little.
Close to none?
Very little.
Because you know, in medical school, they don't teach you anything about nutrition.
Which, of course, nutrition always matters. In fact, I've worked with many people over the years, going back to my days as the chief nutritionist at Dr. McCullough's Optimal Wellness Center. I've worked with many people with cancer over the years, and typically what they're told by their conventional oncologists, when they're told they have cancer and they instinctively, they know that nutrition always matters, so they ask their oncologist, the so-called cancer specialist, you know, well, should I be following any special diet now that I have cancer? And you know what they're told, Eddie? They're told, eat whatever you want. It doesn't matter. Mm. That is a prime example of both ignorance and arrogance. Ignorance in that they don't know what they're talking about, and arrogance that they think they do know what they're talking about. Eat whatever you want. It doesn't matter. That's ridiculous. A four-year-old child knows that what they put into their body will affect the way they feel. It'll affect their tummy. You know, it'll affect them. And so, unfortunately, corruption and ignorance and the arrogance is something that is a big part of the conventional medical establishment. As Ty Bollinger's first episode of The Truth About Cancer really explains why that is, and it makes clear, you know, why things are the way they are and why nutrition gets very little attention, and the focus is on these highly toxic treatments that I mentioned a moment ago.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with Jim Marlowe, and we want to get some tips for Ramadan. You know, we start fasting before the break of dawn. We get up with an early meal. We want to get your advice so we can stay nourished, we can stay hydrated, and we got just the man to give us. We got the shake of food. You know what a shake is, right? So we got our food shake here. Shake nutritionist, Jim Marlowe. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I accept that as an honor.
Fasting makes you feel hunger, which every poor person suffers from in the world. This is how you would sympathize with the poor and try to help them more. This is why every Muslim is required to give food to the poor immediately by the end of Ramadan. The basic rules of fasting are avoiding food, drink, and sexual intercourse between dawn and sunset in the month of Ramadan. Other levels must be added to have real impact on the fasting person. The basic level of fasting will not benefit one spiritually, except from the perspective of submission to divine instructions. Thus, the ritual level alone will not purify one of sin. The deeper meaning of fasting is training the spirit to control desires. Restraining the spirit from the lawful human desires for a while during fasting makes the person more capable of preventing himself from committing anything unlawful at all times, not only fasting time. It helps him control the negative human emotions, like anger. It also helps the person to overcome greed, stinginess, and hatred. This is what the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said. Allah has no need for the hunger and the thirst of the person who does not restrain himself from telling lies and acting on them even while observing the fast.
Back here on the Dean Show, and we hopefully this penetrated some of the things that we've mentioned with the stories, and you said something very profound that even you know the person instinctively knows that this has an effect on their body, right? And we want to put the right things in our body, but now specifically we're talking about in Ramadan. You know, we start off in the early morning before the break of dawn. So what would you advise us to put in our bodies to help us? Because now these are long fasting days. We don't break fast till almost 8 in the evening for many people, mm-hmm. Especially here in America. How would you advise us to start in the morning? What would be the best, most nourishing foods and drink?
Well, I would strongly recommend that everybody consider their own life experience in regards to what I call the real foods, meats from healthy animals and fish and seafood, ideally wild ocean caught fish and seafood, and eggs and dairy products from healthy animals. Ideally, as we both appreciate raw, non-heat damaged dairy products from healthy animals rather than the pasteurized, heat damaged dairy products. But then also, vegetables, fruits, nuts, seeds, grains, and legumes. In regard to all of those real food groups, as I divide them, think about from your own life experience, which of those foods are most satisfying to your appetite when you're hungry? Which of those foods are best for your energy? Are there any particular foods that when you're feeling tired, if you eat them, they help to boost your energy, not in a quick fix way, not just for a little while, but it has more staying power with you? The foods that are going to be most nourishing for us are the foods that are really the ones that are going to be most satisfying to our appetite, at the same time most supportive of us having good energy. And as you know, Eddie, I teach what I think is really an obvious truth, in that in our very diverse population of people on this planet, there is a spectrum of possibilities for what type of diet will be right for a given individual. There's no one diet that's right for everybody. In fact, there's no one food that's right for everybody. This was identified thousands of years ago. The Roman philosopher Lucretius is attributed as the person who said one man's food is another man's poison. There's truth to that. What works really well for one person could actually be a problem for somebody else. But I teach that there's no one diet that's right for everybody. There's no one food that is right for everybody. So it's important for us to honor our own experience, listen to your own body, and think of, in regards to real foods, foods that have real nutritional value for the body, again, meats from healthy animals and fish and seafood and eggs and dairy products and vegetables and fruits and nuts and seeds and grains and legumes. Of all of those foods, think about which of those foods from your own experience you have learned these foods are really the most satisfying to my appetite and the best for my energy. And then those are the foods that I would focus on, that you start your day with. And also I think it's especially important because you're going to be going a long period of time without eating, and you don't want to do too much food, especially really early in the day when your digestive system is just beginning to wake up. I think it's especially important to eat very consciously, pay very careful attention to what you're eating. Certainly, I'm all for saying a personal grace, saying a prayer before you eat. That has actually been shown to be good for digestion. Mm-hmm. You want to, whatever you are consuming, whatever the real food you are consuming, of course, you want to digest it as efficiently as possible so you get the most nourishing value, the most energy-supporting value from it. In regard to meats, we were talking before the show, we were talking somewhat about meats, and I was saying that for someone who has learned from their own experience that they need to eat meat on a regular basis, because if they don't eat meat, they don't feel completely satisfied, and if they don't eat meat, it hurts their energy. I would say for the Ramadan period, where you're going to be eating very early in the morning, I would recommend that you consider eating the most nutrient-dense meats, the meats that actually will have the most nutritional value for your body, and that's not muscle meat, which is most commonly consumed, but that's organ meats, like liver especially. Liver is the most nutrient-dense meat there is. What I mean by nutrient-dense is there are more vitamins and minerals in liver than any other animal food, any other plant food, for that matter. The liver is the richest food source of vitamin A, which is absolutely essential for the health of our immune system and for our eyes and our skin and for our heart health. And the B-complex family of vitamins are in liver. Liver is a rich source of all of your B-complex vitamins, which are your energy and anti-stress vitamins, especially rich in vitamin B12. And there's some vitamin C in liver, which, of course, vitamin C is important for healing. It's important for cardiovascular and immune health, and every cell in the body needs vitamin C. And vitamin D is in the liver, and vitamin E, and basically all of your essential minerals are in liver. Liver is, of course, a especially rich source of iron, but liver is also uniquely rich in a mineral that a lot of people don't know about called phosphorus. Phosphorus is actually the most important mineral for energy production in the body. And so organ meats, generally speaking, whether it's the liver or the heart or the kidneys or the brains, organ meats are more nutrient dense than muscle meat. And so if you're only going to be eating a small amount of food and then going a long period of time, about 16 hours this time of the year before you're going to be eating again, consider organ meats.
Okay, we're going to take a break and we'll come back to talk about breaking the fast. So to summarize, eating real foods, seeing what your body relates to best from these real foods that you mm-hmm. mentioned. Mm-hmm. Go with that. Hydration.
Very important.
How much, real quickly, water? Is there a specific amount? Some say, according to your weight, half the size of ounces in that?
Half of your body weight in ounces of water is a general guideline. The quality of the water is very, very important, too.
Tap water?
No.
Fluoride? We've got to take a break. We'll get into that when we come back here in the Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
The essence of the sciences of self-development and management of time and resources in the world call for one important principle: control your desires and do not let them control you. In this age of gratification, many things are used to fulfill human desires as soon as they have them. The ability to delay gratification is an important skill, and fasting helps in developing such skill. Fasting is primarily between the person and Allah. And because of this intimate aspect of fasting, Allah was quoted by the Prophet as saying, "Every act of Adam's descendants is for themselves, except fasting. It is meant for me alone, and I alone will give the reward for it."
من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم.
Back here on the Dean Show, preparing for Ramadan. We want to eat the right foods, be nourished. Somebody who's getting up and maybe eating a Snicker bar and some fake food. You can give an example.
Yes.
It's going to affect you during your fast, isn't it? And you're going to not be as nourished as you would with real food to get you through that day.
Yeah, doesn't it make sense to want to honor your body with the best quality food that God and nature have to offer you? And, candy bars are definitely not going to be on the list of the best quality food that God and nature have to offer all of us.
You mentioned now good quality water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is very important. What about, here's a Gatorade, sport mm-hmm. drinks in the mm-hmm. morning.
No.
But electrolytes.
No. Yeah, it's also got a lot of sugar, and it's got brominated vegetable oil, which is really bad stuff. And, Gatorade is not good for rehydrating your body. In fact, Gatorade typically makes people want more Gatorade. It actually makes them thirsty for more Gatorade. Which, if you think about it, from the standpoint of corporate mentality, they want to produce products that people will consume and want to consume and keep consuming and over consume, and that's best for their profits.
Yeah. What were the things that it has in there that aren't good for you? What was you?
Well,
mentioned?
There's sweeteners in there. There's artificial food dyes. There's additives to excite the taste buds in there that have addictive qualities to them. There's what's something called brominated vegetable oil. Bromine compounds they can hurt the thyroid gland. The thyroid gland is the gland of the human body that makes and secretes hormones that regulate the rate of our metabolism. Yeah. The rate of our metabolism has to do with our energy and whether we're in fat burning mode or fat storing mode. There's other hormones that affect that as well, but you certainly don't want to do anything that makes life harder for your thyroid gland to function well.
So the best thing would be to get these electrolytes in your system and get you hydrated would be what, water?
Filtered tap water, you'd want to at the very least if you're drinking tap water, get a filtration system that removes the chlorine and at least most of the fluoride, if not all of the fluoride. Despite the propaganda about fluoride is not a nutrient for our health. Fluoride is a toxin. It's a toxic substance. The fact that fluoride can have a poisoning effect on our body is very evident. On every box and tube of fluoridated toothpaste, there is a warning. It says if more than used for brushing is accidentally swallowed, and the amount they're talking about is not an ice cream scoop amount of toothpaste, but a pea-sized amount of toothpaste is the amount they're referring to. But it says on every box and tube of fluoridated toothpaste, if more than used for brushing is accidentally swallowed, contact a poison control center right away. So just using a little bit of logical thinking, obviously, if fluoride can have a poisoning effect on our body, it affects much more than our teeth because no one ever died from poisoned teeth. And so fluoride is a toxic substance. It's not a nutrient. So it's a good thing to do to get a water filtration system that removes fluoride. You can buy water filtration systems. You can shop for water filtration systems from friendsofwater.com has fluoride-removing water filtration systems. And also there's a company called CUZN.com.
I went to that one.
CUZN.
Yeah, you recommended that.
CU is the chemical symbol for copper. ZN is the chemical symbol for zinc. They use copper and zinc materials in their filtration make poor quality tap water much more supportive of good health.
I use also Berkeley water filter. Have you heard of this one?
Yeah. Oh, yes. I'm familiar with that one. That they have a fluoride removing filtration.
Okay. So no to tap water with the fluoride.
That's, yeah. Well,
unless you have a filter.
Non-filtered tap water is not supportive of good health.
All right. Let's get down to now breaking the fast. What are your recommendations? Many people. They fast, and I've been guilty of this in the past, and then we end up feasting. We overload our system, and we eat in extraordinary amounts, putting so much overload on the system right after the fast. What do you think about
that?
What's a good way to, how bad is this for your system, and what do you recommend after you've been fasting all day, the first thing, second day? Usually we'll do some dates and then we'll go from there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think dates would work well for some people, but I think getting back to what I was saying before about how there is no one diet that is right for everybody, if you're a person who feels a need to eat vegetable and fruit nutrition every day, and vegetable and fruit nutrition always feels good to you, and it's largely satisfying to your appetite, if not completely satisfying to your appetite, and you do well with grains and nuts and seeds and legumes, that is, you thrive mostly on plant foods, then starting with some dates could be good. Or I think even better in the modern world where we have all kind of insults that our body has to deal with from pollutants. Different types of pollutants coming from a variety of different industries. You know, the more pollution we're exposed to, the greater our body's need for nutrients to counter the effects of the pollutants. And so I was talking about organ meats being the most nutrient-dense type of meat. Well, in regard to plant food nutrition, and in particular vegetables, I mean, vegetables of all the plant food groups, vegetables really have the greatest health-supporting and health-building value for us. And there's a way of taking vegetable nutrition and concentrating it and creating an extract that requires very little digestive effort on the part of your body, and that is to use a juice extractor. when you run vegetables through a juice extractor, what the juice extractor is doing is it's breaking open the cells that the vegetable is made up of, and it's releasing what those vegetable cells mostly contain, which is water. We call it juice, but it's really vegetable water, and along with the vegetable water come concentrated amounts of vitamins, minerals, enzymes, and antioxidants. But the vegetable juice, as it's more commonly called, that is really the best quality water you can put into your body. So you're not only nourishing yourself with vitamins and minerals and other nutrients with the juice, you're rehydrating yourself with the best quality water that you can put into your body. As far as
this is a good way also to break the when you start nourishing your body with juicing now vegetables.
Yeah, yes, you know you run some vegetables through a juicer, like some celery, some leafy greens like lettuce or spinach or parsley. You put some cucumber in there and maybe a little bit of carrot or beet for some people, maybe a little bit of lemon for other people who enjoy that. But there's a lot of different vegetables that are good to juice. But to consume that first, that requires very little digestive effort.
Give us something also. Someone doesn't have vegetable juice or something more pragmatic. Mm-hmm. You know, that someone's on the go. What can they do?
Well, again, it comes down to what have you learned from your own experience about which real foods are most valuable for you.
And if
you do really well with vegetables, you naturally gravitate toward wanting to eat some vegetables every day. Then, you know, I would break your fast with a salad, with a very simple salad dressing, like some really good quality organic olive oil and some lemon or some apple cider vinegar. Just keep it very simple. Something light, easy to digest. Kind of, you know, wake up your digestive system.
We're almost out of time. Tell us, how could, again, someone distinguish between when we say real food and a fake food?
Okay. Well, if you want to be real healthy, then eat real food. And real food is simple food that does not come with a label with a list of ingredients. Real foods are whole foods that do whole, fresh, natural foods that do not come with a label with a list of ingredients. I'm talking about fresh vegetables, ideally organic vegetables, if that's available to you, or whole fruits, nuts and seeds, grains and legumes. Grains and legumes are always best when you buy them, you know, dried, and you cook them up from scratch, ideally soaking them overnight as a way of kind of preparing them. And whole fresh meats and fish and seafood and eggs and the best quality dairy products, ideally, as I mentioned before, raw from healthy animals. Make a connection with a farmer.
Organic milk, pasteurized?
No. Raw dairy products is not readily available to everybody. In America, there are 10 states where people are allowed to choose either raw dairy or pasteurized dairy, but in the other states, you know, people are basically, their choice is limited. They're basically forced to buy pasteurized dairy in stores. But raw dairy products are in most states, even though they're not allowed to be sold at the retail level, they're not illegal. There are no laws against them. It's just that you're supposed to go directly to the farm to get them. You're supposed and that's something I encourage people to do. You know,
I think realmilk.com.
Realmilk.com is a great website to check out. Also, there's a website I want to recommend to people to go to, farmmatch.com. Farmmatch, FARMMATCH, so it's two M's in there. Farmmatch.com is not a dating site for farmers. No, it's a website where you can go to actually learn how you can connect with farmers in your area. So yeah. Farmmatch.com.
Thank you very much. We're out of time. It's always great to be with my good friend, amiable friend, Jim Marlowe. And I like what you said. You mentioned, and this is really what Ramadan revolves around. It's connecting the heart. You mentioned the prayer before you eat, and this is what we do. You know, it's there prescribed to help us to build more consciousness of our Creator. And this is the main focus of Ramadan, being thankful and grateful to God Almighty.
Yeah, it's always good to eat consciously and to practice, if you don't already do so, practice eating slowly and chewing your food thoroughly. That's a very simple thing to do that is very conducive to better digestion.
Some more tips. Okay, yes. Chewing all that, just not swallowing in chunks.
Yeah, use your teeth. Yeah. They're there for a reason.
Yeah, thank you again.
Okay. Thank you for inviting me back, Eddie.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for being with us. And there you have it, some great advice with Chief Nutritionist Jim Marlowe, some pragmatic advice. Very simple concept. Start off with real food, end with real food. The staggering statistics that's becoming an growing epidemic. Almost 70% of people living today are overweight and obese. 1 in 3 people expected to have diabetes, heart disease. We're clogging up these pipes with junk, with fake food, and no wonder our health is deteriorating. So it's a great, there are so many, we do this fast for the spiritual benefits of strengthening our connection, creating more taqwa, God consciousness of our Creator, and showing that, hey, if we can restrain from lawful things that are permissible during this month, food, drink, and other things, avoiding all of the things that we know we shouldn't be doing, backbiting, gossiping, controlling the tongue, the eyes, and restraining from the good things. Imagine now when we get enticed after Ramadan, if we were able to control ourselves during this spiritual boot camp, how we go to another level when our iman increases and we're able to go ahead and shun off those temptations that might come after Ramadan, and we were able to control ourselves and stay away from the lawful things, now it's going to be much easier. So there's so many tremendous benefits. But now also there's physical benefits, a detoxification of the body, removing many of these toxins that are acquired over the years. And science has backed this of so many tremendous health benefits. So we want to make sure we also, at this time, we have a complete balance. We're also able to nourish the body and give the body what it needs. And instead of feasting, we're fasting and reaping both the spiritual and the physical benefits. And make sure that we develop this nutritional integrity. We put real food in our body, avoid the fake food, so we don't become a part of this growing epidemic, the statistics of people who are having chronic health issues, that 95% of those chronic diseases are food related. That's why this urgency should be created to take this matter seriously, because 50% of people living today will have cancer. 1 in 4 will die from it. And a great amount has to do with the food choices we are making. So if you love your children, you love yourself, you honor this gift that the Creator has given you, you're going to take care of it. It's a blessing. And those two things that we're told that people take for granted is what? Our time and our health. Don't take your health for granted. Too many people have, and they're dead. They're in the ground. It's too late. Appreciate this blessing, care for it, because it's an imana, it's a trust. And a great way you can start is by feeding your body with the food that the Creator has intended for you to eat, real food, avoiding fake food. And may you have a blessed Ramadan. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. Take that simple step that you ask your Maker to guide you, that He'll guide you.
Yes, I advise this a lot. So for people who are searching, put your head on the floor in the state of prostration, like all the prophets did, and ask the Creator of the universe to show you the way, to guide you to the straight path. And someone who sincerely asks for guidance, subhanAllah, they'll find it in Islam.
That's it. Subscribe right now.